Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. We're positively into Preak this week. We are into Orioles homestand that has been weather disaided. I don't know. We'll see how it works out for the pitching. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the 28th of the month, but this weekend we're going to be in Las Vegas, Nevada. No, we're not going to be at the Preakness Saturday. We're going to be in Nevada covering all things the Maryland party. So you're going to hear a lot of conversations next week from lots of business leaders, community leaders, politicians, thought leaders, just a whole bunch of good stuff going on. I went out and examined it last year. This year we're going to report from there. This time of year, the only time Luke and I get together to do football segments is when Justin Tucker's getting cut, released, gossiped about, pooping on the media, or because they're not practicing. And in the middle of the day, Luke, we have this great text service. Speaking of Bill Cole, who's taking me out to Vegas this weekend, we have a text service where we break news. And the last thing I want on a Tuesday night is an injury that has nothing to do with practice. And the Ravens were very healthy last year. You never know when news is going to happen, and there's your ad to get on the WNST text service, because Tuesday night you sent out this Ardarius Washington news. And my wife, who since I've gotten thrown out the last couple of years, isn't up on every roster move and every player. She didn't know a lot about him. So you and I talk a lot about him. I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about him right now, and what he meant to the team last year, what they thought he was going to mean this year. And honestly, you and I don't talk much about personalities. We don't travel together much. He was one of your more favorite guys, right? Ardarius Washington.
Well, I just think the fact that he was a former rookie free agent, still when COVID was going on, which I think hindered some of those fringe roster guys to develop a little bit, but he stuck around, had dealt with a lot of injuries his first couple years, but you see what he had become and what he did for the Ravens last year when the safety position in the secondary was just on fire, right? I mean, Marcus Williams was wildly disappointing. Eddie Jackson wasn't working out. They had the worst pass defense in football. And Ardarius Washington's inserted into the starting lineup. Then a couple weeks later, they moved Kyle Hamilton to more of that conventional deep safety role for the first time in his career. And their defense was excellent down the stretch. I mean, you go look at the numbers over the final seven games of the season, the Ravens. NFL lows in yards allowed and net passing yards per game, yards per play, points per game. And Ardarius Washington had a big part of that. I mean, we remember the big hit he made at the goal line in that Texans Christmas game where now it turned into a blowout, but that was a pretty pivotal play. I mean, this is a guy for someone who's undersized. I mean, he's 5'8", 180 pounds. And has dealt with injuries, and then that's part of the reason why the Ravens drafted Malachi Starks, and we'll get to Starks here in a moment. But this guy was a big part of their turnaround last year. And even with Starks being selected in the first round, which, as I said to you throughout the offseason leading up to the draft, they needed to add another safety because they want to go back to these three safety looks and Kyle Hamilton moving all over the place. But they wanted to draft Malachi Starks. And to be totally honest, I'm guessing, I don't know, midway through the season, something like that, you probably would have seen Starks if he's as good as advertised, if he's as good as everyone thinks he's going to be. You probably would have seen him take an every down role away from Ardarius Washington, but Ardarius Washington was still going to play a big part in their defense. I mean, I asked John Harbaugh at the draft after night one when they took Starks. There was a lot of excitement about their ability to have those three guys on the field, and not just have those three guys on the field, but to really disguise pre-snap and even after the snap what they were doing in terms of, okay, who's dropping deep? Who's playing in the box? Who might be playing the nickel, right? I mean, all the different things that you try to do with, quote, positionless defense on the back end with your secondary. Now you kind of have to go back to the drawing board in terms of, okay, they have starting safeties. I feel good about Malachi Starks playing and maybe playing more than he needs to, even. That's not ideal, but you still feel confident about that because they love the kid that much. But who's your third safety now? I mean, Bo Braid and Sanusi Kane are the most experienced safeties on their roster behind Starks and Hamilton. And Starks is a rookie, of course. So, you kind of go back to the drawing board in terms of who that third safety is going to be. And the sticking point is, let's face it, for as much good as the Ravens do building their roster year in and year out, veteran safeties and free agent safeties coming in here, it hasn't worked out so great. So it is disappointing. And to your point, I mean, we're still about 10 days out from OTAs even getting started. And it's a reminder that these guys aren't just in bubble wrap in the offseason. They're getting ready. They're doing conditioning. They're working out. You know, I'm not suggesting there's anything shady about this injury. It's just a reminder that this can happen at any time, and these guys are human. And you really feel for our Darius Washington because he had finally stayed healthy. I mean, played 17 games for the first time in his career, and you saw the kind of player he could be. But unfortunately, this has also been the other side of his career, not being able to stay healthy. So,
Kind of reminds me a little bit of Ladarius Webb, where he was just kind of coming on and got hurt at that time. There have been a couple of kids that have been good and then got hurt. And I mean, I go back to Anthony Poindexter and just different people in that backside of a secondary. Jimmy Smith, who might have been a Hall of Famer, you know, like he had that kind of talent. Had he not been as injured as he was, I mean, I had to learn who Liz Frank was. No relation to Anne Frank, no relation to my mother either, but. My wife and I had a little coffee chat about this morning because she wasn't as familiar. And obviously, second half of the year last year, you and I and Ravens fans have had long conversations. But if you and I were giving an elevator speech on this about the intent of their defense, what they'd like to do with their defense, and what they showed with Kyle Hamilton to some dismay, really, over the beginning part of the year last year, is that he can be incredible as that disguised player. But when Marcus Williams is on the back end and can't hold his water, no matter how much money he's making, it really changes the complexion and the design and the intent of what they're trying to do on defense on any down and distance. And you start taking players away and taking those pieces away, the Orioles stink. It's no surprise. There's no Westberg. There's no Couser. There's no Bradish. There was no Eflin. There's no Rodriguez. Start taking good players away or having good players stink. Marcus Williams, maybe Roquan Smith being part of that really good player that's played sort of okay, because of what's around him. And then you sub a Trenton Simpson in instead of a Patrick Queen, you know, and then you fall down the mountain. Now the Orioles are 10 games under 500 falling down the mountain, but on the football side, this created things with the defense last year that Zach Orr didn't want to do, that Chuck Pagano won't want to do as an advisor and a consultant and whatever he is in this thing, to say now we're, I mean, and you said Malachi Starks, and I'm still trying to get through Malachi, and every time I see it, I think of the Fonz and the Malachi brothers. Malachi Starks, dude, they spent $80 million trying to zip up this position 24 months ago and couldn't do it with a veteran guy. It's a really tough position, and one that like Chuck Clark made look easier than maybe it was. Even Will Demps 20 years ago. I'm thinking about guys that sort of came from nowhere and played a little bit in that position because Ed Reed was so good too. So you're back there with Ed Reed. You got Ray Lewis in front of you. You got at one point, I don't want to say Rod Woodson, but you had McAllister on one side or any of those kinds of players. You know, Samari Roll even. They had good players. $18 million safeties. I don't know whether Malachi Starks is going to be that kind of player or not. If he is out of the gate, they'll be okay. But all of this was predicated about they had this little midget that could play a lot and was real smart and ran around and played with gusto. And that was our Darius Washington. He's just like eliminated now in the same way that Kyle Bradish isn't pitching this week. And I think you start taking good players away from the defense, no matter what their name or their size. You know, that guy did it on the field. That guy didn't do it at you know, as gator bait. He did it in the NFL and did it at a high level, and they're going to miss him. And I was trying to explain that to my wife. This isn't a small injury. Luke and I have to do a segment. This is a big thing.
And again, I mean, will they be fine? Probably. I think they'll be fine, but you just said it, and they love Malachi Starks, and I love the Malachi Starks pick. I think he's going to be a heck of a player. You know, he's one of those Red Star guys as a captain, leader, all of that. You know, you see all of that. But the fact that you had Kyle Hamilton and Ardarius Washington ahead of him, It gave Malachi Starks some runway, right? It gave him some training wheels that you didn't necessarily have to put quite as much on his plate in training camp, in week one, in week four, and his entire rookie year, if necessary, right? Because of what you just said, it is a really challenging position to play. We all remember Kyle Hamilton had his issues the first, I don't know, 6 weeks of his NFL career, right?
Dude, Matt
And
Elam couldn't play.
sure.
The kid from Florida State couldn't play.
Terrence
He's
Brooks,
a
yeah.
second
Yeah, you
round
never
pick.
know.
I mean, like, and then he went to Philadelphia and it was okay for a minute or two. It's a really difficult
It is.
position, and they have this special otherworldly talent with Kyle Hamilton, and they're trying to shore that thing up on the back end. And this is just—it's not devastating. That would be Kyle Hamilton, but
You're right.
like, it's not good. It's
No, it's.
it's not good in May.
Well, and you just said it in May, right? Because for me, as much as anything else, and I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, you know, I'm an Ardarius Washington guy, but it's just a reminder of how incredibly healthy they stayed last year. Other than the timing of the Zay Flowers injury in January, and that was, you know, that wasn't a long-term thing. That was he missed. You know, if he gets hurt in September with that same injury, he misses 3 games and he's back, right? So. Other than that, and you know, Michael Pierce was on IR with the calf issue for what, 6 weeks? What other injury of real note did they suffer last year? This is already more serious than, more severe than anything else they
Well, he's not
suffered
going to
all
get
of
on the
last year.
field. He's missing
Yeah, I
16
mean,
games.
bet.
I said to my wife, he'd play 45, 50 snaps a week, right?
Oh, easily, easily. I mean, even if you're talking about Malachi Starks taking over the quote starting job. In October or November or whatever, they're going to play three safeties. I mean, they want to play three safeties. And there's also the trickle down effect of when you lose Ardarius Washington, all right, Starks steps into the starting lineup and Starks is a versatile player as well. But again, who is that third safety going to be? And I'll throw a few names out there in a moment, but that also impacts your depth at corner because if you're playing more three safety alignments, that means you only need to have two corners on the field most of the time. And that was going to be Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins. Well, yeah, you did bring in Awuzie, who's a veteran, has played at a high level in the league at times, but he's another guy with injury history. So now this, I don't want to say exposes, but it does bring your cornerback depth into play as far as a little more of a concern there. So
I think it
it's
affects
just,
the linebackers because
oh,
I think
sure. You wanted to play a lot of dime. Yeah.
if you're going to play third safety, you're pulling a linebacker off the field. What linebacker
Sure.
are you pulling off the field? Simpson, I don't know.
Yeah, I
Well,
mean,
however they couch that, but if their linebackers were better, they wouldn't be thinking about having three safeties. They really invested in three safeties, not three linebackers, when it really
sure.
comes down to it.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, all of that's connected, right? I mean, we tend to think about these, and maybe in a more traditional defense, you would think about those positions as isolated spots, but again, the whole idea of positionless defense that I started throwing out that term, what, 5 years ago, maybe? I mean, it's really what they try to do on the back end, where it's not so much, okay, we have a free safety, we have a strong safety, we have two outside corners, and we have a nickel. Yeah, they do that plenty, but you also love the idea that Kyle Hamilton can play free safety, or he can play strong safety, or he can play nickel, or he'll line up at the edge, or he'll play linebacker. You know, essentially on any given play. And you can do the same, th similar things with Ardarius Washington. You can do similar things with Malachi Starks, assuming he picks up the defense. And I think he's going to. And Marlon Humphrey, just that inside outside versatility that he gives you. When you lose one of those pieces, you're now in a position where you've got to find a way to account for that. Now, I'll throw some names out there. I mean, Julian Blackman's out there. Justin Simmons is out there. You mentioned Chuck Clark. I don't know if the Ravens would have interest in bringing Chuck Clark back, considering he's older and has had injuries. And, you know, I mean, we're talking a few years ago at this point when he was playing at his absolute best. Quandre Diggs is out there. So there are veteran options out there. And I wholeheartedly expect the Ravens are going to add another safety to the mix now as their third. But like I said, now this expedites, you know, this kind of shortens the learning curve for Malachi Starks a little more. It might ha cause you to take a little more pause in how you use Kyle Hamilton to make sure everything's Oh, everything's cohesive. You know, everything's the kumbaya in terms of everyone being on the same page from a schematic standpoint. This hurts. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that this really damages their Super Bowl chances to a great degree. No, nothing like that. But you're not in the business of wanting to lose good players even before you start training camp. And this is one where, look, the best
Hard to
case,
find a player like him. They spent a
yeah,
lot of
I
money
mean,
looking for a player like him, I guess is my point.
and obviously, considering the timing of this, he's going to miss most of, if not the whole season. I mean, obviously, people will point to Terrell Suggs as, an example. I mean, and Suggs had a very similar timeline when he tore his Achilles right around the draft. But, Suggs had been paid at that point, and Ardarius Washington was a restricted free agent, had been tendered, hadn't received a long-term contract. And in defense of the Ravens, this was kind of why they weren't interested in necessarily signing him to a long-term deal, because this has unfortunately been the story of his career. Had a foot issue a few years ago, had a chest injury 2 years ago that cost him most of those seasons. So, but you've got to find a replacement here. I don't think the answer is going to be, oh, well, Bo Braid's going to play more, or oh, Sanusi Kane's going to play more. You're already expecting Malachi Starks to now need to play a starting role as opposed to a third safety role out of the gate, which still was going to be a big role, but now it's like, hey, he's your second best safety on paper. He better be. If he's not, then you've got issues. But yeah, they're going to have to bring in a veteran safety now, and they're going to have to hope it works out better than Eddie Jackson did last year, right? I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, they've had more success with late round draft picks like Chuck Clark or Geno Stone or guys like that that have filled, maybe not a starring role or a starting gig, but they've filled up really good complementary roles. They've had more success with guys like that that have been in their program for a couple of years and kind of learn and cut their teeth and understand the way the Ravens want to play on the back end, rather than bringing in an Eddie Jackson, right? I mean, their free agent track record with safeties, going back quite a while now, is, it's kind of, it's a mixed bag at
Well, the
best. I
guy from
mean,
Seattle was the worst, right?
yeah, I mean, well, Earl, I mean, Earl Thomas, the ability wasn't the issue with him. He was just crazy, for lack of a, lack of a better term. But, I mean, Tony Jefferson, I love the guy, wasn't a bad player, but certainly was not the high priced player that they paid him to be. He was much more of a value concern there. I mean, Eric Weddle is really the only veteran safety they've signed in the last 10 years that you would say, wow, that really worked. And that was partly cap and partly him getting older. But so when you have a guy like Ardarius Washington, who you develop, who you like what he's become, who helped save your season in the second half of last year, it wasn't just him, but just him being part of that solution. It hurts to lose that. The silver lining is that they drafted Malachi Starks, and the silver lining is that it's mid-May rather than mid-August or mid-September or mid-November, where something like this happens, and then you say, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? You've got a long time to figure this out. And you just the big key here is they need Malachi Starks to be ready out of the gate. And I don't think that's unrealistic, but at the same time, you really like the scenario they had where you had Hamilton and Washington as your starters, and Starks they could bring along a little more slowly. They could base their sub packages on what he's comfortable, what he does best, what he's comfortable doing, all of that. And now you have to, you kind of have to revisit the math a little bit in terms of, okay, how many three safety spots are you going to play? How much nickel are you going to play? What's your cornerback depth looking like? Are you going to bring in a veteran safety? So you have to look at those things. And again, devastating. No, I mean, to your point, Kyle Hamilton's the one that you're pressing the panic button. You're sounding the alarm if you lose Kyle Hamilton, because the guy's a transcendent, special player in this league. But this definitely hurts. I mean, again, I think Ardarius Washington, even if Malachi Starks was going to be a star to the point where he's a defensive rookie of the year candidate, Washington was still going to be on the field a whole lot for this defense. So now, best case scenario, maybe you have him in December or January, and but you certainly can't plan for that. So you're going to have to go and look at some of those veteran options, and hope that one of those guys can work, because I'm not Not saying this to be disrespectful to Bo Braid or Sanusi Kane, but you're talking about an undrafted free agent a year ago and a late round pick a year ago. I mean, those aren't guys that you're necessarily penciling in to play real snaps in your defense. Those are special teams guys at this stage. So certainly anticipate whether it's going to be for OTAs or whether it's something they do later, later this summer. They're going to need to add a veteran safety to the mix because, like I said, they want to play three safeties. Not saying necessarily every single play, but they want that to be a big part of their defense. And because of where they were last year, they had to go away from that in the second half, and they made it work. But as we saw, it forced them to use Kyle Hamilton a little bit differently. That he played great, don't get me wrong, but wasn't that big splash player kind of wrecking ball all over the field in the way that you could deploy him previously.
You know, I was going to talk about like football and ask about off season, and we talk so much about, we haven't mentioned Derrick Henry's name. I don't think we've said Lamar's name in a couple of months since he got screwed out of the MVP and all of that. The schedule's coming out. The schedule's coming out. You know, so you know, that's all we'll have at this point, and that's where all the oxygen will be. But you know, it is a long off season for all of these young people who have girls, cars, travel, fun, family. You know, whatever jet ski they're on, whatever terrible thing they're doing, whatever workout they're in, whatever wind sprint they're running, whatever hill they're running up, that, you know, bubble wrapping these guys in the off season in a general sense, keeping them out of jail, you know, keeping them from not making it rain in Vegas, keeping them off massage tables and the things that, you know, would happen 10 years later. Just all the drama that goes into this, they don't play a game for 4 more months. The next 2 days is going to be about, am I going to Green Bay? Am I going to Dublin? Am I going to Spain? Playing a game in Spain. I would just say that the health of the players is still paramount for the coaches in the building and for what they're trying to do out there to win football games, because that's all that matters. I mean, they're, you know, sexual assaults and zero tolerance. We can talk about that all day. All they care about is who's matching up on who in 3rd and 8 in Buffalo when Josh Allen's got the ball and the season's on the line, and it's not going to be Ardarius Washington. And that's devastating in the building for a day or two or three in regard to, now what are we going to do? Because that's where they are. We're all into schedule, schedule, schedule. The people that matter out there is like, okay, next man up. Now what are we going to do?
All those injury questions, it's why you want your guys in the building working out this time of year, training the way you want them to train. I mean, again, like I said, they came off of an extraordinarily healthy season. I mean, Aaron Schatz, our good pal, a friend of the program, who we have on a few times a year, years and years ago, Football Outsiders, which obviously is defunct now, but they developed adjusted games lost as a more, a way to quantify injuries a little better than just, hey, just look, how many guys do you have on IR, right? Because that doesn't tell you a whole lot. That doesn't give you a whole lot of
Yeah, if
context.
your guy on IR is Lamar, you don't need any more than one.
But you could have 15 guys on IR, but if eight of those guys are camp bodies and a couple of the guys were special teams players, that's not as bad as if you have 10 guys on IR, but six of them are starters, right? So adjusted games lost is a metric he developed years ago. The Ravens were the healthiest team in the NFL last year, and I
After
believe
being the most unhealthy in, what was it, 22?
21, 21 and even 22, they had some hangover from that. 2015, they had a ton of injuries that
Well,
year
when
as well,
Snoop
but
Huntley was playing the game in Cincinnati, that was the year that was a mess.
well,
Yeah.
sure. They back to back, well, you lose Lamar Jackson in December back to back years, but anyway, they had this extraordinarily healthy season last year. And all you can think is, are you going to be able to duplicate that? Are you going to be able to come close to that? Duplicate unrealistic. Can you come close to that? And when you lose a starter in mid-May, I mean, it just doesn't mean that they're doomed and they're bound to now repeat 2021 or anything crazy like that. But it's a reminder of these are human beings. And this is where, I would make mention, I'll give a plug here because I thought it was kind of neat. Ronnie Stanley actually did a Players Tribune story earlier this week and came out and actually talked about his ankle injury and everything he went through. And it's a reminder that even with all the money, even and to your point, you talked about all the different things that these guys have going on. You know, these guys have kids, you know, they have significant others, they have family members that might not be well, all these different things you go through, but they're human beings. And yeah, Ronnie Stanley got paid an extraordinary amount of money in 2020 and then wrecked his ankle 2 days later. I mean, thank goodness for him that it wasn't a case that he got hurt when he was playing out a rookie deal and hadn't signed yet. You know, he got that financial security that frankly he deserved. He had earned at that point in time. But he really talked at length about how devastating that all was for him. I mean, he had a cast on his from his hip all the way down to his toes after he wrecked his ankle the way he did. And you know, he talked about coming back the following year and how he ended up tearing another ligament in his ankle, and that's what forced him off the field after that terrible Raiders game, week one, where he looked nothing like himself. It's just a reminder that there is a human element at work here that, you know, we tend to think in terms of, oh, what's the impact going to be on the football field? And understandably so. I mean, and the Ravens themselves, after feeling for Ardarius Washington, Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh and their pro scouts, and they're all getting to, okay, who are we bringing in? Who's going to replace him, right? So there's always that idea that you know, the wheel's going to keep turning, but there is a human element. And, you know, whether you're talking about Ronnie Stanley, who did get paid very handsomely, and then had a devastating injury that threatened his career, or whether you're talking about someone like Ardarius Washington, who got what, about $3 million as a restricted free agent this year. I mean, I'm glad he got that much. But now, you know, it's a contract year. Even if he makes it back at the end of the year, what's he going to be? What's his role going to be at that point in time? You know, it impacts his livelihood. So that's where you remember you can't put these guys in bubble wrap. I mean, as much as it sounds that way to fans and to media when we're not seeing these guys in the off season, they're always getting ready. I mean, these guys take a couple weeks off after the season's over. Maybe they go on vacation, maybe a month at the most. But then they're right back to it because they have to. You know, the idea that you want to try to make it through a season at a high level and playing at a high level and staying healthy and all of that, I mean, that takes a lot of work to get to that point. And unfortunately, what happened with Ardarius Washington reminds that, you know, it can happen at any point. So it's just a reminder of that human element, but also a reminder why you need depth on your football team. And that's where the Ravens have to go back to the drawing board now. Thank goodness they drafted Malachi Starks. Can you imagine the scenario if they had taken a safety later in the draft? Then we'd be having a way different discussion right now. But this certainly hurts the back end of their defense, and it hurts some of their versatility. And, you know, I think they'll figure out a way to make everything work, and I think their defense will still be very, very, very formidable, but that path is a little you know, it's a little hazy now when you lose Ardarius Washington and you don't have those three safety alignments in the same way that you were anticipating.
At some point, we'll talk about Ronnie Stanley because I think I've been on the air 35 years. I can't really remember anybody that had that kind of an injury where for years we wrote the guy off and he came
Yeah,
back and played and got
it's a
paid
really
again.
great story. It's a good story. It's
I
never
can't
the
think of anyone even in that position. You know, I mean, we talk about Jimmy Smith playing his way
Yeah.
into his mid-30s, which was shocking. John Ogden, it got him off the field, right? You know, some of the
Right.
guys he might have been a guy slogging around for 3 or 4 more years if he wanted to at $10 million a year at that point in his life. Didn't want to, didn't need to, had won, like all of that. The Ronnie Stanley thing, you know, it is worth noting in a general sense. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that in 35 years.
I mean, think about it. From 2020 through 2022, when he finally got back on the field consistently, I mean, he played a total of 18 games those seasons. I mean, think about how much time he missed. And to be clear, we know Ronnie Stanley's also had some other injuries here and there. I mean, it's not like he was 100% durable until the ankle injury, but it really is. I really, as I read the piece that he penned, you know, for the Players Tribune, I really started to think about it. I said, you know, and I understand it. You know, media, we talked about the lack of availability. Fans were very frustrated. At times, people have even questioned, you know, like, how much do you want to play, man? Like, are you going to get back on the field? All that. Because from an outside perspective, People always do
From
that,
an
right?
outside perspective, if I had $80 million in the bank and
Sure.
my ankle were
No
ripped up,
question.
I'd
No
say,
question.
screw this. I don't
Right,
need to do
exactly.
this.
So people will at least pose those questions and make those comments, and they're not fair in many cases, and they can be cruel in many cases. But I started thinking about this and how well he played last year. The fact that he got another contract, he's not the highest paid left tackle in the league, but got $20 million a year, even if it's for a 3-year deal. You know, it's a little more on the modest side compared to the deal he signed in 2020 relative to the cap and market value and all that. But I started thinking about that. I'm like, this guy should probably be celebrated a little bit more, just in terms of making it back to what he did last year, playing every game in a season for the first time in his career, coming off of a pay cut, coming off of not being close to the guy he had been prior to the injury. And last year, I mean, he made the Pro Bowl as an alternate last year.
Well,
I
the
mean,
Ravens
that's,
think they're going to win a Super Bowl with him.
yeah, I mean,
In his
they
30s, banged up, putting back
sure.
together Humpty Dumpty. The Ravens have put $60 million up and said, we think we can win a Super Bowl with you still.
Yeah, and that's not to say that it's not to say he's going to be perfect the rest of the way. I mean, the ankle might catch up to him again at some point in time, but I just think it's a really good it was a good reading that the article was a reminder of what goes on behind the scenes with rehab with these guys when you have these major injuries. And this was an extreme one, right? This was an injury that essentially cost him 2 full seasons. So it was just a reminder that there's a lot that goes on there. And I thought it was interesting that he went out of his way to really be complimentary of Lamar Jackson in that article to say, you know, guys checked in on me, but he said Lamar's as genuine as it gets. And I thought that was cool to see that. Again, you know, it's a Players Tribune thing. It's something that's polished up a little bit in terms of the publisher and portraying players a certain way. But I still thought it's a story that's worth t was worth telling. And I think it's something where for as much criticism and questioning and wondering and all that about Ronnie Stanley these last 5 years, the fact that he got back to where he was last year, performance-wise, durability-wise, and to get another contract, you know, I'm guessing right now, Ardarius Washington's looking at Ronnie Stanley as someone for inspiration. You know, as hey, I can get back, and whether it's going to be in Baltimore or somewhere else, I can get back and I can play at a high level and still have a chance to carve out a career for myself in this league. But you know, this again, the Stanley piece, I thought it was illuminating in terms of just how much he went through, just how much the Ravens didn't tell us about Stanley's injuries. And I think sometimes that, you know, that idea can be a hindrance to how a player is perceived. And I've thought that with various players over the years who dealt with injuries that the team wasn't necessarily forthcoming about. But the fact that he's made it back, like I said, I think it's a pretty cool story and kind of made me, not that I didn't th feel this way already about him making it back, but it kind of gave me some different perspective as far as this guy's story should probably be celebrated a little bit more in these parts, just because he made it back. And the money changes how people perceive that, because he made a ton of money while he wasn't on the field for the Ravens those few years. But that wasn't because he didn't want to be, you know. And I think it's a re reminder of, you know, all those cliches about blood, sweat, and tears that these guys put into it. You know, they certainly work their butts off. And again, I feel happy for him that he's gotten back to this point in his career now after where he was 5 years ago.
He's Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find both of us at Baltimore Positive. Luke will be at the ballpark here, running between the raindrops, and my ears will be ringing from AC/DC and Pat Benatar. We're going to be in Las Vegas, Nevada this weekend for the Maryland party. Be broadcasting from there. You'll be hearing all of that work all next week. Our next Maryland Crab Cake Tour is on the 28th at Fadley's. That is a Wednesday afternoon. The St. Louis Cardinals are in town that day. We will have scratch offs in the Maryland Lottery. Our Back to the Future Maryland Lottery scratch offs on the 28th. Also, the 7th of June, we return to Hampstead, beautiful Carroll County, God's country. We'll be at Greenmount Station having crab cakes. And if Luke's lucky, he can get to join me. You can find both of us out anywhere social media travels. We'll obviously have the NFL schedule coming your way. If you hear this on the backside, it's there. Get on the WNST text service brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, and you will get it all burst. A little baseball, a little football, lots of politics. Did a great crab cake tour stop last week out at Red Brick Station with Bill Blocker. We're getting a lot of feedback on that, and Ando's and those delicious sandwiches in the wine bar over on the Avenue in White Marsh. So good stuff getting out in the community, having some great conversations. It is Preakness Week. Donna Brothers has joined us. Dick Girardi has joined us. Randy Moss, no, not the one that catches baseballs. The journalist. Speaking of journalists, journalism going to be probably an even money favorite by the time the track comes down on Saturday afternoon. So good Preakness, D-Wayne Lucas, Bob Baffert, all the legends in town here this week out at the racetrack. I am Nestor, he's Luke. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.